to Matthew chapter 28. Last Sunday, I started a message on the marks and the mission of the Lord's church. Now, I proved historically that Jesus started his church. He is the founder, the foundation, and the Lord promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. His church would never go out of existence. And I don't believe that Jesus organized a Roman Catholic church or Protestant churches or an invisible church. I believe he organized what we would today consider a New Testament Baptist church simply because of all the marks that identify what a true church is. I mean, you think about all the marks of a New Testament church. The church is given authority to carry out the Great Commission. It has only two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. You can't change the requirements of baptism to fit whatever theology or ideology you may have. And the Catholics and Protestants have changed the ordinances. They have never kept them the way that they were delivered. Baptism has four requirements. The Lord's Supper has only two elements. It's to be observed by the local church only. We have the Bible as our final authority for all faith and practice. And in order to be a church member, you have to be born again to present yourself as a candidate. You must have a regenerate church membership. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches baptizing babies. There is no hierarchy of leaders in the Bible that where you have a pope and priests and all the other things. No, it's this simple. There are two offices in a New Testament church, elders and deacons. Elders, pastors if you have a larger church. But that's it, nothing else. And they don't lord it over the rest of the members. So those are the marks of a New Testament church. Now today we're going to look at the mission of the Lord's church, and very familiar passage. I've preached on it several times and I'll continue to because I believe it's our responsibility. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that last promise ensures that the church that Jesus, the kind of church that he gave this commission to, these responsibilities to, that church would still be in existence when he comes again. It's a promise. It's the teaching of church perpetuity or church succession. There will always be true churches until Jesus comes again. That's why I'm not Reformed. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Protestant. Because I believe Jesus started his church. He promised that church would be in existence till he comes again. Now remember last week, being a member of the church won't save you. You should be saved by the grace of God, part of the family of God, and then baptized into the church after you've been saved. But just being a church member, that don't save you. We don't believe in Catholic or Protestant theology. We believe salvation is in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him alone. We don't believe in denominational salvation. Now, the point is this. I don't believe there was a need for a reformation. The reformers that came out of the Catholic Church were brave men. I'll give them credit for that. They went up against the most powerful ecclesiastical authority of their day. As Baptists, we were being killed. They weren't tolerating us at all. They were putting us to death. But many of the reformers were able to at least preach salvation was only in Christ, even though they kept a lot of the tendencies of their mama. Infant baptism, sacramental salvation, things like that. So I'm not Reformed. I'm not Protestant. I'm a Baptist. But I believe Baptists have a responsibility. If you, as a New Testament church, bear these marks, the marks that you find in the New Testament that identify what a church is, then you also ought to bear the mark of the mission, what a church does. A lot of Baptist churches are failing in this today. A lot of Baptist churches want to say, we're the Lord's church. We believe the truth. We stand for the doctrines. We're strong in the truth we believe. But that's all they do. They say they believe the truth. They put a sign out that says Missionary Baptist. But that's all. That's all the mission work they do. And I'm going to tell you, that's wrong. Because Jesus says the mission of the New Testament church is, in Mark, He said, preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke, He said that repentance and remission of sins through the gospel message is to be preached throughout all the world. In Acts, He said that they were to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The mission of the Lord's church begins with making disciples by preaching the gospel to every creature. That's what a church is to be engaged in. And every member is to be engaged in this activity, either by word or by prayer or by sympathy and desire to see people saved. Every one of us have a responsibility to be a witness that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again, He's alive forevermore, and that message needs to be preached to everyone, everywhere, throughout the entire world. Now you have a little world. Your world may be on Rankin's Creek, or Buffalo Creek, or Charlie Creek. We got a lot of creeks around here. Our responsibility begins at home. Evangelism. In our homes. In our community. We've knocked on every door in Chesapeake proper, South Point proper, many of the hollers and roads all around here. We have gone door to door, talked to people, shared the gospel. Some will hear, some don't want anything to do with it. Sometimes all you get to do is give them a tract but they need to know that there is a church in Lawrence County that preaches the gospel. There's only one gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility not just to give money to missions, but to desire to make disciples through the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. That's our response to church. That's what real Baptists do. They don't just talk about preaching the gospel. They actually talk to people. We are to be witnesses. We are to tell other people about the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He's the only way to heaven. And you know what? That's what they, you read the book of Acts, that's exactly what they did. They went everywhere preaching the word. Their mission was to obey the command that Jesus gave them. Even though they met with such fierce opposition, they were persecuted. They were martyred. But they would not shut up. They would not stop telling people that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and it's the only hope you have for salvation and forgiveness. They were bold in their witness. And you know, that first church had 12 members with Jesus as the head, 13. One of them was a devil, Judas Iscariot. By the time you get to Acts chapter 1, you had about 120 members of the first church. And they were sharing the gospel, and they were, when the power of God came upon that church, they were already in existence in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But when the Lord baptized them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that very day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. They were saved and they were baptized. And you know what they began to do? They began to share the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the word. Consistently, all the way through the book of Acts. This year, when you read your Bible through, pay special attention to the message that was carried all through the book of Acts. It all centered around Jesus Christ. The method was simple. They went right to where people were. They told them the plain and direct, simple message of the gospel of the grace of God. People were saved. Once they were saved, they were baptized into that church where they served and they were instructed and taught. They were living out what Jesus told them to do. In Acts chapter 4, turn there. Here we find them preaching the gospel and saying that Jesus is the only way. They were to make disciples through the preaching of the gospel. They were to mark those disciples through scriptural baptism. And then they were to mature those disciples by teaching the truth of the Lord Jesus and what He had commanded. But look at Acts chapter 4, verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Their gospel message centered around the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. when someone was converted, they were scripturally baptized after they were saved. But notice this. Acts chapter 8, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. The person and work of Jesus Christ. So if a church is preaching baptism for salvation, sacraments for salvation, the Pope for salvation, whatever it may, good works, the law, they are entirely wrong. There is nothing right about pointing people to anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Everything else is wrong. It's heretical. It's dead wrong. So wrong, in fact, that Paul told the Galatians that even if an angel from heaven came and preached unto you any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed, condemned, damned. That's what the Bible teaches. There's only one way. Only one message of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's not through the Pope. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through good works. It's not through your church. It is through Jesus Christ. And every time, they consistently, over and over again, they preached Jesus. You want to mark a false prophet? He'll either talk a lot about himself or about some convoluted way of religion rather than Jesus Christ alone as the way of salvation. He preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What's keeping me from being baptized? Now, I'm going to tell you something. All the Catholic and Protestant baptisms, so-called, where they bring that little baby up there, and the guy says some words over him, sprinkles some water, that baby, you'll never find any occasion anywhere in history where a baby will say, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know why? They don't even know where they're at. They don't even know who they are. They're just babies. They never said that. They would never say. You say, "Well, that's ridiculous." Yes, it is ridiculous. Anybody that would baptize a baby is ridiculous. It's not biblical. But here you got a guy that heard the message of the gospel. He said, "What hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized and following the Lord?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." That's the only requirement. Are you really a believer that Jesus died for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, that He is the only way? You know what he said? This simple. He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He was saved. He was a believer before he ever went down in the water. That destroys infant baptism. That destroys the idea of baptismal regeneration or baptism for salvation. He was a believer in Jesus Christ before he was ever baptized. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And notice what it says. they went down both into the water. They weren't in a basin. They weren't in a little sink. They were in a body of water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, that implies a burial, an immersion. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. Again, we're talking about what real churches do. They preach the gospel. They baptize believing converts. Okay? And then they begin instructing them, teaching them. Turn over to Acts 14. This is what Paul and Barnabas did and Paul and Silas did on their missionary journeys. Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. These are all places where they had preached the gospel, and I believe where they had started mission works. They came back through every one of those places, confirming the souls of the disciples. What did Jesus say? Go ye therefore, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. When they went back to organize these churches, they made sure that these disciples were confirmed in the faith, that they knew the truth as it is in Jesus. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The things that Jesus commanded, the truths that they believed, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And they went through the other cities and they were confirming the soul. Again, what were they doing? Making disciples through preaching the gospel. They were marking those disciples, identifying them by baptizing them into those local bodies, those local churches. Then they were confirming those souls, teaching them the faith once delivered unto the saints. This process is seen all the way through the book of Acts. And it's the process, it's the mission of our church today. Preach the gospel, baptize those who are saved, teach them to observe all things. It begins in our home, in our community, and we have the privilege, because God's blessed us, where we can even help other churches through their mission activities. When I came to Mount Pleasant in 1993, I think we supported 6 missionaries. Now including, how many checks do you write, Ron? 20, but one goes to how many missionaries in the Philippines? 6? Huh? All right. Every year we have an extra mission offering that we give to some preacher that comes. Then we have another special offering in November. The point is, God's blessed us, where we can do a work here and we can help other churches as they're striving to preach the gospel all around the world. That's what real Baptists do. They carry out the Great Commission. That's our responsibility. That's a mark of a New Testament church. We ought to be passionate about it. It's something that we ought to be praying about, that we ought to think about every day. Souls, souls, souls all around the world. And the truth of the gospel. That's the only thing that is the only hope our nation has, is that people will be saved, that their hearts will be changed, that they'll have a desire to follow Christ and then teach that to their children. So we are to make disciples, mark disciples, and mature disciples. That's what we do. That's as simple as it gets. We don't add a lot to it. We don't have a big entertainment program here. When people come and keep coming to our church, hopefully it's because they see a church that is carrying out the Great Commission. Preaching the gospel, baptizing the converts, and teaching them. You ought to be passionate about learning, about growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the series that we did on how to come to the house of God? You should be prepared, ready, awake to receive the truth. And then live it out in your daily lives. If this is the only smattering of religious activity you have every week, you're not fulfilling your responsibility as a member of this church. You need to live it every day. You and I need to live for the Lord every day and make an impact. You know, there's something special about being in the Lord's church. He calls it the house of God in 1 Timothy 3:15. He says it is the habitation of God by His Spirit. In Ephesians 2 and verse 20, Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, this church, the church that you are in, not the building, but the body. This is the body of Christ. And we're His bride. We ought to live like we are prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. I wonder today, are we as a church doing what real Baptists do and have done since Jesus started the first church and those churches that have come after? Are we active in preaching the gospel? Are we administering baptism the biblical way? And then are we teaching them to observe all things? You've heard this message how many times? Some of you, over and over and over and over again. Don't become numb. Realize we have a serious mission ahead of us. We need to pray that God will save souls, that He'll add to us, that He'll save our children, our grandchildren. And then they'll learn the truth and walk in it and live it out. We need this so much. Our community needs it. May God help us to take it seriously and expend all of our energy to carry out the mission that He gave us. until He comes again. I hope you know the Lord today as your pastor and your preacher, if I'm not your pastor. I want to be able to say, and I can say it, there's no blood on my hands. I have preached an accurate gospel faithfully for 26 years. And as long as God gives me breath, I pray that I will continue to preach that there is only one person who can save you. And I pray that you'll trust the Lord Jesus. Let's all stand.